Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Mark 5:25, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all. Everybody say spent all. That she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had, everybody say, heard of Jesus. She heard about Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith, everybody say, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Amen. The 26th verse, one more time. And had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered. She spent all that she had. Amen. And nothing that she did made it any better. Amen. And I want to preach for a little while. When you are out of solutions, amen, set your Bibles down, lift your hands to the Lord. Come on, lift your voice to the Lord. Turn it. In the name of Jesus, God, we need you in this house. Come on, prayer warriors, help me pray right now. Hallelujah, lift up your voice. Hallelujah, like a trumpet in this place. We need you, God. We need you, God. We need you, God. Hallelujah. Can you join up with somebody? Come on, I want us to really break through before the word goes forth. Come on, something great could happen if we let some things break in our spirit. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, speak to our hearts tonight. Speak to us, God. We need you, Lord. Come on, in a way of worship, why don't you put your hands together for Jesus? Hallelujah, we praise you, God. Amen. You can be seated. I hope you're ready for a Holy Ghost Bible study. Amen. Are you ready to get in the Word of God and grow a little bit and build your faith a little bit? The Bible said faith cometh by hearing. Amen. You need to hear the Word of God. You may have heard this preached 100 times, but you need to hear it one more time to build your faith. Amen. To take you a little bit further on this journey called life. Amen. I want to preach when you, everybody say, when I am out of solutions. Amen. This is a very familiar story in the Bible about a woman who had a severe health problem. It was a issue of blood that she could not get fixed. Amen. And this woman had tried everything. She had spent her life savings. She had spent her paycheck that week. She had spent everything that she had over a period of 12 years to try to get well. And the Bible said she didn't get any better, but she actually just got worse. Amen. Let me tell you, if you're trying to fix yourself, you're going to be disappointed. If you're trying to fix your family all by yourself, you're going to be disappointed. Because you're going to turn around and realize things ain't getting better. They're just getting worse. Amen. This woman tried everything, but the Bible said it just got worse. Amen. what it was really saying was she was out of money, she was out of time, she was out of solutions. She had tried everything, and then the Bible would say when she was completely out of solutions. Ain't it amazing when you finally just give up? God, I've tried to fix this every way I know how. I think I'm out of ideas. I've spun it. I've borrowed. I've given. I've robbed Peter to pay Paul. I've done this. I've done that. And when you run out of solutions, amen, and you just lay it down. Hallelujah. The Bible said when she was out of solutions, she heard about a man named Jesus. When she thought her story was almost over, when she thought she was at the end of her road, the Bible said she heard about a man named Jesus. Amen. Our message is a Jesus message. Our hope is a Jesus hope. Our baptism is a Jesus name baptism. Our repentance is a Jesus name repentance. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Some people say, well, you're just Jesus everything. Well, you got it right. I am Jesus everything. If Jesus wants me to turn right, I'm going to turn right. If he says turn left here and take this detour, I'm going to go. I'm Jesus everything. If he says go to checkout number 4, I'm going to go to checkout number 4. And on the way, I'm going to look for a church card in my pocket because I'm Jesus everything. I've tried it my way. I tried to produce revival. I tried to build a church. You can't do it on your own. And when you run out of solutions and you get on your face and you touch him, it's about to change for you. Come on, let's love him together. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody shout Jesus. What our world needs is Jesus. Our mixed up world that don't think there's 4,500 different genders, they need Jesus. Amen. My Bible said he created male and female. And he put one man with one woman. Amen. Let me tell you who Jesus is. He's a beautiful artist. He's a beautiful author. Amen. When he does it right. Hallelujah. We're not the ones confused. The world's confused. We're not the weirdos. They're the weirdos. They don't even know what a woman is. I know what one is because I married one. Hallelujah. They think we're crazy. I think they're crazy. Amen. But you know what? Our world is running out of solutions. They've tried to pay for drug rehabs. They've tried to speak positive thinking. They've tried to educate people into changing their life. And they're running out of solutions. They don't know how to lower crime. They don't know how to get marriages to stay together. They don't know how to make children obey their parents. They're out of solutions. You know what our world needs? They need to get a hold of the hem of his garment. If they would get a hold of him, they're going to find a real solution. Come on, let's love him together right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. In order for this story to work, this Jesus story, amen, that whoever it was that told her about it, it's an unknown person that taught this lady about Jesus. Amen. But in order for this story to resonate, someone had to tell her that Jesus was a healer. Amen. They would have had to tell her that he had healed many people in the past, amen, and that he was a great healer in order for this story to really resonate with her. Amen. If this person whoever it was that talked to this woman with an issue of blood would have talked about Jesus and said, you know what? Let me tell you about a man that can walk on the water. Amen. Thank the Lord he walks on water. Amen. If they would have said, let me tell you about a man that can cast out devils. Amen. Thank the Lord he sets people free. Amen. But the woman would have said, well, that's all well and good, but I'm not looking for a man that can walk on water. Amen. I need a solution to my personal problem. Hallelujah. I'm going to preach to this church a little while. Amen. I want revival to come to your family. I want it to come to your house, in your neighborhood, in the cities that you live in. Amen. And the Bible said, he that wins souls is wise. Amen. I don't care if you're mentoring somebody, you're teaching them a Bible study, you're trying to disciple them. You need to learn how to meet them where they're at. You need to introduce them to a Jesus that knows how to take care of their personal problem. Amen. That's why I don't preach about red horses and black horses and white horses and seven vials. And maybe someday I will. But so far I have not ever preached about that, I don't think, one time. Simply because when people walk through the door and they don't have food in their cabinets, they don't want you to tell them. They want you to tell them about a Jesus that can put their marriage back together. Amen. We need to learn how to preach a Jesus that knows where they're living. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Amen. I want to tell you, we can get so hung up on what we want to teach people and what we want to preach to people and what we want to tell people. Amen. But when you're witnessing to somebody, it's just like me preaching. Amen. I didn't just walk up here 5 minutes ago and just, well, let me see. What can we talk about tonight? Maybe this would be good. Let's hit the lottery right here. First Kings. I didn't do that. I got up this morning and I came up here and I laid down against that wall. And I began to talk to God. And I said, God, I don't know what they're going through, but you know it. I don't want to preach what I want to preach. I want you to give me a word that'll shake the foundations, that'll rebuke the doubt. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. We get on our little, I hate to use the word, but we get on our little candy sticks. Amen. And we like to teach people what we want to teach people. Amen. But if you want to learn how to be effective, a timely word, a word fitly spoken, it's like, I'm talking about a word that's right on time. Amen. There's a time to preach about the oneness of God, and then there's a time to preach that we have not a high priest who cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. There is a time to reach people in a channel. Hallelujah. There was a woman one time. It was in the very first building. And she walked in, just a real nice lady. But amen. But she said, I don't know about all this Pentecost stuff. Amen. I want you to open the Bible and I want you to show me why I can't do this and why I can't do that. And why this? And if you can't show it to me, amen, I'm walking out. Well, I showed it to her, and she walked out anyway. And it grieved my spirit. I thought, dear God, here I am teaching a woman holiness that don't even have the Holy Ghost. Am I an idiot? And I prayed, God, if you'll give me one more chance to talk to that lady, I'm going to talk to her about the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And I believe God's heard my prayers. Amen. And I'm not going to say who it is. Amen. But they've kind of been hanging around this church the last couple of weeks. Amen. Before long, that woman's going to be speaking in tongues. Amen. I want a word that's right on time. I want a word that's fitly spoken. I want a word that connects people with a What we got to understand is that if you connect people with Jesus, the change is going to happen. My Lord, you can't sit there and shout, speak in tongues, and not be convicted about your old lifestyle. Hey, amen. What we got to do is connect them up. Hey, amen. Let God clean them up. Let God work on them. We connect them. We tell them. Hallelujah. 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 I'm so thankful that this person, whoever it was, that told this woman with the issue of blood about a man named Jesus. I'm so glad that that person listened as much as they talked. Hallelujah. Praise God. You'll learn the key to connecting people with Jesus. You got to learn how to listen. Amen. We love to talk. We love to tell people. Amen. But you got to learn how to listen, first of all. And when you know what they're dealing with, this one may be in pornography. This one may be in depression. This one may be bitter because somebody's hurt them. And if you don't know, you don't know how to portray Jesus to that individual, to the one that's been betrayed. You can say, hey, I know a man that was betrayed by every disciple he ever chose, but he kept on loving them, and he kept on believing in them, and they ended up being the founders of the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God help the church. God teach us to be soul winners. Teach us to be listeners. Hallelujah. What she needed was a healing. And whoever it was that talked to her told her, Jesus is a healer. You ain't got to tell them everything Jesus is. All they need is a hook to get them to come through the door. And when they touch the hem of his garment, when they're all out of solutions, and they feel that charge of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, all of a sudden something's going to open up in their spirit, hallelujah, and where they were hopeless, hallelujah, lift your hands to the Lord together, hallelujah. Hallelujah. To the one that's bound, we need to have a message. He come to set the captive free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't have to live in bondage anymore unless you want to be. But if you want to be free, there's a man named Jesus that's got a gift called the Holy Ghost. And when you get the Holy Ghost, he said you'll receive power. What is the Holy Ghost? Well, let me just explain it like this. Jesus said, I'm with you, but I shall be in you. He told his disciples, I'm walking with you, but I'm going to be in spirit form here in a few days. And I'm going to be on the inside of you. And it's that Holy Ghost Spirit of Christ that'll get in you and it'll make you throw the beer bottles out of the fridge. It'll make you throw the fentanyl out the window. It'll make you get rid of the crystal meth. It'll make you get rid of your illicit lifestyles. Hey, we gotta learn to tell the world we got a solution to every problem. Come on, lift your hands and praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please don't ever let the world hear you complaining and griping and fussing. They hear that enough. Their news is like 99% negativity. Everything they say is negative and horrible and a mess. We ought to have a reason to tell everybody of the hope that is in us. You ought to be waiting on go for somebody to ask you, why are you always grinning at work? Why do you walk in whistling? How do you and your wife get along so well? I thought you would never ask. I got a solution. I got a hold of the hem of his garment. Amen. And everything begin to change. Hallelujah. Let's love him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for revelation. Hallelujah. Amen. A great day in your life was the day that you heard about Jesus. Amen. You'd be a mess today if you had never heard about the one, the Savior. Amen. The one that died for you. You'd be in a mess today if you'd never heard it. Thank God for whoever it was that taught it to you. The Bible says, give honor where honor's due. Amen. I had a mama that taught me about Jesus. Amen. When I wasn't excited about it, she loaded up six kids in a car and said, we're going to church. You didn't even ask if you could stay home. I'm glad I had a real mama. I feel sorry for some people's mamas. Amen. They want to be best friends with them. My mama wasn't my best friend. Amen. My mama was my mama. Amen. And she was going to make sure I did right. As long as she had breath in her body, she's still telling me to do right. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm thankful she didn't let me have my way. Amen. When I wanted to play sports in school, my mama said, you ain't doing that. First of all, you got to run around in shorts, and the people of God don't do that. The next thing she said, you ain't going to run around in front of a bunch of half-naked cheerleaders. Hey, I feel sorry for myself, but I don't feel sorry for myself anymore. I had a mama that was telling me, hey, they ain't got no solutions out there. They're all mixed up. It's in here. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Man, she would line us up in a car, a Chevrolet Chevette, usually. And man, when gas went up, probably, when I was real young, there wasn't as many kids, and we had like a 40-foot. Long Buick or something. We all had to line up. Amen. When we got to church, we all had to sit down. And she said, you listen to what that preacher says. And if you act up, you're going to wish you would not have. Hallelujah. Boy, was that child abuse? Amen. She raised three pastors and a teacher and a doctor and a disabled veteran. Amen. Child abuse. Imagine that. Maybe we need some more child abuse. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But my mom, I don't know why, I'm talking about solutions. My mom never got in my face and screamed at me. She never... She would usually say something like this, Jojo, I hate to do this, but you're going to do right. And if this don't work, when your daddy gets home, he's got a bigger belt. She loved me to death. She wasn't trying to beat me down. She wasn't trying to put me in a crazy hospital. She was trying to put me on the straight and narrow. She was putting guardrails on the highway of my life. She was saying, you ain't gonna go that way, and you ain't gonna go that way. Hallelujah. Man, I'm joking about child abuse. Child abuse is terrible. I mean, it's wrong to scream at people. I never got screamed at in my life, I don't think. Amen. She probably raised her voice a few times, but it wasn't real loud. Amen. But I think for many years I probably got a whooping every night before I went to bed. It was like Benadryl, baby Benadryl to me. And my daddy, we'd all be stacked up in bunk beds everywhere, boys everywhere. And I'd hear my daddy say, if I hear one more thing out of that room, I'm fixing to get up and I'm fixing to come in there. It ain't like he just beat us for no reason. I mean, it was plenty of warning, like, burr, burr. And he lay there still for a while, but he just couldn't. I mean, when I grew up, we didn't have medicine for ADHD. They whooped us. But we were normal. Amen. There's a time to run wild and play outside and get dirty and eat mud pies and shoot rabbits. And I don't know what I'm rambling about. I'm just preaching. I feel so blessed. Amen. I grew up in a functional family. One man, one woman. They loved each other and they loved us and wouldn't let us do wrong. We did anything wrong, we were sneaking around to do it, and we got caught, we got a whooping for it. Hallelujah. Amen. I got a salute. If you wonder why the world hates the family, it's because God created the family. There's things a dad needs to do that a mama really can't do. There's things a mom needs to do that a dad ain't really that good at. But when you get two of them together, they're real good at it. And there's a good balance. And amen. And you raise children that are balanced and not. Boy, I feel like preaching right now. I'm the poorest lottery winner you ever seen. I feel like I won the childhood lottery. Amen. I had food on my table. Amen. A mama that prayed every day. A daddy that. I knew daddy was coming home. He didn't have another woman on the other side of town. He was coming home. I feel like I won the Holy Ghost lottery. Hey, I want your children to be raised. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. I know life happens. And if it happened, just do the best you can. But listen to me. Amen. Sometimes you have to take up some slack. Don't say, well, I can't do nothing with them because their dad left. No, you can do something with them. Hey, if he don't want to do right, you do right. You make them get in the car and go to church. You don't let them tell you what you... You tell them, God made you the parent. God trusted you and he's going to look at you. Hallelujah. My Lord, I didn't mean to get on all that, but God wants it, I guess. Amen. Praise God. Let their divorce rate be 50%. Let ours be zero. We don't have to follow the statistics of the world. I'm telling you, if a mom and dad start praying and you get committed to the house of God, I'll tell you, the closer you get to God, you don't even realize, the closer you'll get to your spouse. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you messed up, just get back up. Amen. Let the past be the past. Forget the things behind you, and let's do it right. Is this all right? Let's just do it right. From here on out, let's do it right. Let's make the right decisions. Hallelujah. Praise God. Lord, I'm so far off. I don't even know if I can get back on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't want to miss an opportunity, amen, to connect somebody with Jesus because I'm not observant and listening to what they got to say. Hallelujah. You don't know why Paul said, I become all things that I might win some. You know what he's saying? I can sit down and talk with anybody and empathize. You got to learn how to get people to talk. Amen. Some people think to sell, you got to run your mouth. No, you don't. The best are the ones that can get other people. Because if you can get them to talk and you know what they need, if they don't need your rainbow vacuum cleaner, you can't sell somebody a rainbow that's already got a rainbow or two or three. But you, when you figure out they need a humidifier, that's what you need to be. Just let them. And when you listen to people in the world and they're talking about, well, man, I got a great marriage. Well, that's wonderful. Praise God. God's good. And just let them keep on talking. And finally, they'll get to a point, my ankle's killing me. And when they say, my ankle's killing me, I say, really? My ankle used to hurt too. But one day I walked into an old-fashioned prayer meeting and I said, God, I can't preach tonight if my ankle hurts. And it ain't hurt since. I think God wants to do the same thing for you. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let me preach a while. Thank the Lord. The night is young. Our message needs to be built in a way that it connects Jesus with the needs of people. Amen. Because our world, they're out of solutions. And so they've accepted that their lifestyle is dysfunctional, and they're drunks, and they're potheads, and they're single thises and single thats, and everything else. And they're convinced that they're so far gone that they're out of solutions. There's no way I could have a normal life again. I did this and I did that and blah, blah, blah. Amen. They have no answers. They've went to the counselor, and the counselor said, put it in the back of your mind and try not to think about it. They went to the palm reader, and the palm reader took their money and told them a lie. But guess what? The Church of the Living God has got a solution for everybody we come in contact with. Hey, we knew this time was going to come because the Bible said it would come. That men would be lovers of them own selves. It said two men doing that which is unseemly. Two women lying. We knew about this a long time ago. It was predicted that we would be upon these times. But we got an answer for every dysfunctional way of life that there is. If you will touch the hem of his garment, you're going to be changed from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. Come on, church. Hallelujah. We got the answer. Amen. We've got the answer. Hallelujah. So when the day the answer comes, then it's decision time. Man, what are we going to do? We're going to live a life of hopelessness? Or are we going to turn around and start pursuing the solution? Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. I want to preach. Amen. I was just kind of playing there for a while. Not playing, but we were talking about them. But I want to preach to the people inside these four walls for a little while. Hallelujah. We got the solution for them, but we got the solution for us too. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus is full of solutions. The Bible would say his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways are higher than our ways. just because you live for God don't mean you're not going to go through things and not have trials in your life and situations, and death comes, knocks on everybody's door, everybody's families, and trouble and sickness comes, and amen, praise God. But the same solution, amen, that filled you with the Holy Ghost, that helped you break the chain of sin, amen, is the same solution, amen, to what you're facing today. I want to tell you, God didn't just call Israel out and then quit fixing problems for them. Amen. Some people act like because you got the Holy Ghost, amen, God gave you more than you deserve, and that's probably the truth. He gave us all more than we deserve. Amen. But he still got the solution to everything else in your life. Amen. I want to brag on Jesus for a little while. Amen. I want to brag on the one that's bailed me out time after time after time. I want to brag upon the one who's carried me when I couldn't carry myself. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, praise God, I love conservative politics, but conservative politics never paid my bills one time. When I was a teenager, I remember my dad picking me up in Little Rock. I worked for Dillard's corporate headquarters. I got a job over there back in 1988 or something like that. 87, 88. And I was, back in the old days, they would, you had charge cards. If you want to charge something, you set it on this metal plate, and they put a piece of paper on it, and they slid something across, and they would take that piece of paper, and they would, it don't matter where you bought something from Dillard's, all over the United States, they'd send it to Little Rock. And they had these microfilm machines, and they'd feed it. Crazy. And somebody would call in and say, hey, I didn't buy them pair of shoes. They would say, all right, Joe Most, go look on December 4th, whatever. We want a record of who signed it. Anyway, I made $4 an hour. I was racking it up. 4 hours a day, $4 an hour. My daddy picked me up. Amen. We was on the way down I-630, and he turned on the radio. He said, son, I want you to listen to this guy. This guy's name is Rush Limbaugh. And I thought, what? Who's his daddy? Amen. Anyway, so my daddy was a studier. He learned. He always wanted to learn something. He was reading the Bible. He used to, you know how you have, like the encyclopedia is on like a little thumb drive. Do y'all know that, or just a click or whatever? Well, back in the old days, it was like 100 books. And my daddy bought a whole set of encyclopedias, and he sat there in the chair and he read every one of them. And he was just, I remember being, even before I got married, maybe after I got married, my dad was still going to college. Like, I was like, what do you want to be when he just wanted to learn something. He just wanted to grow, and he wanted the answer to everything. Amen. So when my daddy got the Holy Ghost, amen, and the preacher started preaching, Bishop Holmes started preaching, John Moses, let me tell you how you're going to do this. You're going to get a prayer life, and if you'll pray every day, God will turn it all around. Hallelujah. So, I'm just preaching. I feel so blessed. I feel more blessed than anybody on the planet. Amen. And my daddy started praying. He started praying every day, and then he tried to get me to pray, and trying to tell me to pray, and teach me to pray, and show me to pray. Amen. My daddy would get up. He loved to talk. Amen. He was just like my son. He loved to talk. Amen. I was the shy one. He would start service, and he would just get everybody riled up. Praise God. He wanted to be so connected in the church. Amen. When he got the Holy Ghost, he didn't hang around with gossipers and troublemakers. And amen. And if I went home with somebody, I used to go home with Brad Looper, and I'd come back with an attitude. Amen. And I love you, Brad, if you're listening. Anyway, my dad would say, with that attitude, you're not going to his house no more. So I'd have to do some major repenting. And praise God. Then I'd go home with J.R. Beard. My Lord, it was worse. I'd come home with an attitude. If you're listening, J.R., I love you. It's my old friends. Amen. And my daddy'd say, if you come back with another attitude, you're not going to his house no more. Daddy, they're a part of the church. They've been members of the church longer than we've been. I don't care who they are, son. Come on, we got a solution. Get the Holy Ghost and stay full of the Holy Ghost. You need to get it. I'm telling you, there's mom and daddies that need to get a detection system. When they're around certain people, they come home with a little attitude. You need to put the brakes on it. No, you ain't. How you doing? Well, hallelujah. Praise God. God's good to us. Then I'd say, well, I'm going to pray. Hallelujah. Well, I better not. Well, I might do it. Then I'd say, Mom, I'm going to go home. Brother Gary Don. I didn't say brother. He was just Gary. I'd say, I'm going to go home with Gary Don. And she'd say, okay. I'd go home with Gary, and we'd be playing in the backyard. Three boys would come over, and Gary would say, man, these boys have been picking on me. Will you whoop these boys? Praise God, I'd whoop all three of them. Sister Carly would call my mama and say, your boy's over here beating up all the neighbors. My mama say, you ain't going back home with Gary no more. Gary Pastors, he's a good guy. Nothing. Amen. God can do miracles in everybody's life. We're beating up the devil right now. Hallelujah. But I found a solution. I said I found a solution. Hey, man, I got a hold of the hem of his garment one night. When I figured out you can't beat your way up through life. When I figured out you can't chew your way out, chew people out, chew your kids out and slap them around, you'll raise up another slap around. You'll raise up somebody else that slaps their wife around and they'll get to go to jail. I got a solution. They ain't got a solution out there. I got a solution in here. Get a hold of the hem of his garment. Let it change who you are. Let it change your DNA. Hallelujah. Amen. It's still early. I want to brag about Jesus for a little while. Can I brag about the one that changed me, who changed you, who's still wanting to change you more and more and more? Come on, don't resist the change. Just let him do it. Pray every day, God, I got to change. I don't want to go in reverse. Amen. God can do it. We got the solution. Hallelujah. Praise God. We serve a God that if you're standing before a Red Sea in your life, he still knows how to part them. Amen. You think they're stories. They're not just stories. The Bible don't call them stories. It calls them examples. An example is it can happen again. That's what it means. You're studying them and they show you an example in algebra. A plus 2 equals 4 or whatever. And they show you an example. You know why they're showing you an example? Because it's about to happen again. These things that happen in the Old Testament were examples. Amen. When God brought them out, God wants you to know if you feel like you're trapped and you got Pharaoh behind you and the Red Sea in front of you, We've got an example. If we'll get a hold of God like Moses got a hold of God, you can. He still parts the Red Seas. He's still a miracle worker. He's still the one that can bring you out of lifestyles. Amen. Let me brag on Jesus. Amen. When you're hungry and there's nothing to eat, praise God. God's got solutions. He can bring quail from out of the sea. Quails don't like water. Quails don't know how to swim. I walked out of the hospital room where Sister Monks was at, and it looked like she was about to go see Jesus. And I was going across the river bridge, and I was crying out to God as loud as I could. I said, God, you can't take her. I don't know what's going to happen, but you better turn this around. And I'm telling you, I was crossing the river, and I seen it, a spiritual covey of quail come right up out of the water and fly right over my car, and a voice say, I can bring quail out of the sea. I can heal her body. I got a solution. Get a hold of him, and he can turn it around. You come too late to tell me God can't work. You come too late to tell me God can't heal people, that God can't turn things around. He is a healer. Let me brag on God. Amen. When you run out of solutions for water, God can bring water out of a rock. God can make the crooked paths straight. Amen. God can cause rivers to flow in the desert. I want to tell you, when you need something to happen and you're out of solutions and you're backed against the wall, you just need a Holy Ghost prayer meeting. Come on, I don't have a new message. It's an old message. I preached it for 11 years now, and I'm going to keep preaching it because it works. Amen. I've never had a solution. I've always messed everything up. But every time I got a hold of him, God can make the sun stand still if he needs to. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Hallelujah. God could take money and put it in the mouth of a fish to pay your taxes if he wanted to. Amen. When you run out of solutions, get a prayer life. When you run out of options, get a prayer life. When you get tired of living, I say paycheck to paycheck, day to day, get a prayer life. I'm not saying it'll never tighten up again, but you know how to get it untightened. Hey, man, I feel Jesus in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Man, I'm preaching when you're out of solutions. When you're out of solutions, God's just getting started. Hallelujah. Abraham was a friend of God. This friend of God, I don't know if anybody ever knew God as well as Abraham did. Spoke to him, the Bible said, like a friend. God tells his friend, I want you to take your only son, take him up to the mountain, and there I want you to sacrifice him. I'm going to tell you, when God tells you that, the wheels start turning. How am I going to do this? And I'm sure he was an intelligent man. Usually other people gather around intelligent people. And Abraham had a lot of people gathered around him.
I'm sure he had a lot of tricks and solutions of his own in life. And I'm not saying you, if you got money in the bank, you sit there at the gas station and wait for God to somebody give you $5. If you got $5, just pay for your gas. And, amen. We don't. I'm talking about when you run out of solutions. And I'm sure on this journey from where he lived to this Mount Moriah is actually the mountaintop where the Temple Mount is right now, where the temple ended up being, and where the Dome of the Rock, which is the second most holy site in Islam, is built right now. Right there beside it is where Abraham brought Isaac up to that place. Man, and I'm sure he was trying to think of all the solutions he could come up with as he was taking this journey. Amen. And Hebrews would tell us, amen, that Abraham's thoughts were this, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead. And so Abraham's thought process was, I've run out of solutions, amen, but I still believe that God can raise him up from the dead if I go through with this. Amen. But let me tell you, when you're through with all your solutions, amen, that's a great time to get a hold of God. Amen. Even though God had commanded him, take that boy up there and you sacrifice him there. It wasn't that God wanted Isaac dead. God wanted to see what Abraham was made out of. Amen. There's going to be some test in your life that it looks like at the end of this road it's going to be bad. But you're going to figure out God really don't even want you to go to the end of that road. He's just wondering if you're willing to walk the road he told you to walk. So when Abraham runs out of solutions, God's solutions are just beginning. Because it wasn't God's solution for Isaac to die. But God's solution was for there to be a ram caught in the thicket. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel like shouting. Hallelujah. Do you know there's a scripture that says God's not going to share his glory with another, with anybody? Amen. Let me tell you something. If you figure every problem out in your life, you know who you're going to be really fond of? Yourself. You're going to think, my Lord, I'm smart. My Lord, I sure got it going on. I can figure out anything. Look at all that I've done. There was a guy in the Bible that did that one day. He said, my Lord, look at all that I've built. And the moment he said that, he started eating grass on all fours, walking around like a cow. I'm going to tell you, there's some things in life God don't want you to figure out, but he wants you to trust him that he can figure it out. Amen. Because when your ideas are depleted, his ideas ain't even started yet. Hallelujah. Can I preach for just 5 minutes? Hallelujah. This is my philosophy. This is the Bible's philosophy. God, I can't figure it out. So I'm going to pray until you figure it out. And I know this goes against, this is really hard for men to think like this, that I can't figure this out, but God can. Well, maybe I should preach like this for a while. Amen. It's really hard for men. And I will say this, that it's really hard for women. Hallelujah. That was free. Anyway, comedy's over. I'm fixing to do my closing statements. Amen. Let God be the judge. This is my philosophy. I'm probably one of the dumbest people on the planet. Amen. And the reason I say that is because there was a time in my life that I thought I was the smartest one on the planet. I remember when I was a boy, my daddy, or my pastor, Bishop Holmes, he would always tell me, your dad is the smartest man I've ever met. And he said, I've never, and he would say every time I, your dad is the smartest man. And he said, you boys. And I thought, man, I am smart. My Lord, you got something. You're right. I'm smart. Amen. And then I sat in the chair and I watched them take my truck away. And then my other truck and my van that I had a courier business with. And they took my Kubota backhoe, amen, that I did septic tanks with. And then they took my house that I lived in. And they took my lawnmower that I cut my grass with. And they took my weed eater that I trimmed my concrete with. Hey. And then they put a note on my door, said, you got 30 days to leave. Amen. And you know what I figured out? I'm pretty dumb. I need God. The greatest. You ain't got to amen me. I'm just telling my story. I'm sure you're super smart. But my story was, God taught me a whole lot of stuff. Amen. I realized how uneducated I really was. Amen. I realized how bad I needed God. And from that point, if God. Praise God. They said Elon Musk is going to be a trillionaire. I thought, what on earth? I don't even know what that means. But I was laughing. I thought, if God gave me $1 trillion, I'd still know how dumb I am. Because I've already went to school. Amen. I got a doctorate in personality of who I really am. God gave me a doctorate of how feeble and needy and poor. The best education I've ever received was the one I got from God when He stood on the banks of heaven and looked down and said, do you give up yet? Are you going to cry uncle yet? Do you want some more trouble in your life? Do you realize how bad you need me yet? Do you want me? Thank God for the day. I said, no, I don't need no more trouble. Amen. Your ways are higher than my ways. People get mad at me because I won't make a decision. Hallelujah. Y'all don't laugh. Amen. The teachers say, can we do this? Our principal says, can we do this? My wife says, we need to know. I hate to make a decision, really, unless I really feel something. Why? Because I don't want to mess everything up. Hallelujah. But I know if I can get a hold of the hem of His garment, and I feel a little unction in the Spirit. Praise God. I don't mind making decisions if they were made in prayer and it feels right and God's dealing with me. My Lord, this is easy. Yeah, let's do this. Let's build a church we can't afford. Yeah, if God said do it. You think we got a God that owns it all. We got a God that's never failed. We got a God whose ways are higher than our ways. We got a God that's got a revival that we can't even imagine. We got a God that's saying, when you're through, let me talk. Stand together with me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Nothing like a little detour. Sermon detour. Amen. I feel Jesus in this place. Hallelujah. People saying, whatever you do, don't give up. You know what I'm going to preach? You need to give up sometimes. Not like you think, but you need to give up trying to fix everything. Men just get up and they run into the same wall with their head. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I would never. Just, I'm 50, I can say this stuff now, I guess. I would never make huge decisions in anything without talking to God and feeling. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you, when I tried everything and I ran out, you hear me? This is what my bank account. You know what's so beautiful? It was September 11, 2001. This is what my bank account looked like. Rabbit ear, zero. Probably was a red color, actually. Hallelujah. I just got real honest with God. Planes flying into buildings and people dying. I'd went to church with my wife 2 days before. I was in Little Rock and I went to church with her. My pastor preached God could drop a bomb on New York City and this world would start repenting. I didn't really think none of it till Tuesday morning about 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Taking an industrial electricity course 350 miles from home, Norman, Oklahoma. Federal facility. They locked us down. Sitting there. No money. No hope. No Holy Ghost. Nobody around me. Nobody to hold my hand and pray with me. I was out of solutions. The world's ending. I'm lost. I'm going to burn. I'm broke. I'm done figuring it out. For 2 hours, I went from a know-it-all to a know-nothing that cried to God. And it was in that hotel room on that federal facility that I repented of my sins. And I said, God, I'm through with solutions. Obviously, I'm an idiot. Take my life. And I made a promise. I've regretted it a few times. But I said, God, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. If you'll just fill me with the Holy Ghost. I want to go to heaven. I don't want my family to be raptured. Both of my children, only had two at that time, they both had the Holy Ghost. They were both baptized. I was just, really, honestly, probably the slowest learner you can imagine. I couldn't figure it out. But finally, it like clicked. The light bulb came on. And I said, God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. This is how dumb I was. I said, God, if you don't fill me with the Holy Ghost, I'm going to wear you out every day of your life until you do. That's pretty dumb, ain't it? But he loved it. That Sunday, God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I started getting a hold of the hem of his garment. Every day of my life, I committed I was going to pray. I started praying 23 years ago today. I started praying every day. I ain't missed a day of prayer in 23 years. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm telling you, I realize I gotta have God. If I quit praying, everything will unravel. I want somebody in this room to just realize how bad you need God. People playing with eternity. Playing with their children's eternity. Playing with addiction. playing with things on the internet that's going to burn you. I'm looking for somebody. I don't know who I'm preaching to, maybe everybody. This would be a good night for you to get real honest with God. God, I'm out of answers. It was the best day of my life when I said, God, I'm out of answers. I'm never going to make another decision in my life without you, God. I tell you, it's been beautiful. God's opened doors for me. I've had hard times. I've had broke days. But I ain't never been poor because I knew who owned it all. I've had days I worried about whether the credit card would work when I got gas. But I really didn't worry because I felt like if my car didn't work, God would put gas in my car. I'm telling you, when you quit trying to figure it all out and you totally surrender to God, so many doors are going to open in your life. So many things are going to change in your life. I'm through preaching. I got to quit. I know we need to pray. I wish everybody in this house would come around this altar. Come on, this is a decision. This is a decision everybody's got to make.
Jesus, come on. I feel Jesus.
Come on, man. Come on,
I
mamas.
I feel Jesus.
Come on,